Radio Boston, I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Today, the corruption trial of Boston City Councilor Chuck Turner came to an end. The verdict, guilty on all counts. Turner had been accused of accepting a bribe to help a Roxbury businessman get a liquor license and then lying about it to the FBI. We'll discuss the trial and the decision that just arrived a few minutes ago on our Week in Review panel. But first, today, two new polls have Republican Charlie Baker and Democrat Governor Deval Patrick in a statistical tie. Independent Tim Cahill is a distant third. This weekend, Charlie Baker and Deval Patrick are literally boarding separate buses for a final burst of campaigning, but independent Tim Cahill has not chartered a bus, even though he says he's still in it to win. All this week, we've been interviewing the gubernatorial candidates, and today we finish with the final interview with independent Tim Cahill, who's here in the studio. Tim Cahill, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Sasha. Thanks for having me.
And listeners, we're taking calls. If you have questions or comments for Tim Cahill just a few days before the election, you can reach us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Tim Cahill, no bus tour for you this weekend?
No. We decided to keep it with the Jeep, which has been my mode of transportation since the campaign started. We discussed a bus, and the people wanted to do one, but I'm not a big fan of bus tours. I think they're so traditional, party kind of thing, and you run around basically talking to yourselves most of the time. So what we're going to do this weekend is caravan all of our cars and our trucks and our vans and just move around the state. We're going to do the same thing they're doing, except we're not talking to party sort of faithful. We're going to be talking to real people.
You've said you'll be on soccer fields and that sort of thing,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, supermarkets. It's Halloween weekend, so we're going to be where the people are, probably shaking hands as they go in to buy costumes and stuff.
Tim Cahill, you have said repeatedly that you intend to stay in this race till the end,
Yeah. Even
though your numbers are in single digits at this point.
Yeah.
I wonder, though, it seems that in this past week you've disappeared from public view to a great degree, and I wonder if that means that at some level you sort of have mentally ceded this race.
Oh, God, no. No, not at all. I mean, I think the media may have ceded this race, and that's part of the challenge. I mean, I see these polls as being more prescriptive than descriptive, sort of telling people how to vote or who not to vote for. We've been as busy, and we had the big debate Monday, which I was told I did very well in by a lot of people, by a number of people, both in the media and outside. We've been crisscrossing the state, as have my opponents, but the media is not following me the way they're following Charlie Baker, the way they're following Deval Patrick. So, and this is always the challenge of an independent. He doesn't have the party backing and doesn't have sort of a Democratic or Republican pollster sort of spinning out the message and telling people how they should be voting. I mean, we're talking about 500 people who have taken a poll over the last couple of weeks, and it doesn't really speak to everybody, but it is sort of subliminally or directly telling people who they should vote for, who they shouldn't even consider.
The polls, you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
One of the challenges that faces you, and it's also a challenge for Jill Stein, who was on the show this week, and a caller asked her this, and I'll ask you, and you've been asked this before, but callers, there are voters who want to vote for you, but they think it's a throwaway vote. You're not going to get elected, so why should I cast a vote for that person? What do you say to people who are wrestling with that?
Well, I'm saying you're falling for the old party line, which is that you have to vote for a Democrat or Republican to make it count. Anyone that votes, you should never be told that your vote is wasted, ever. And you vote for the person you think will do the best job. I've done that my whole life, not considering who's going to win and who's going to lose, but who is the best candidate. I had someone at the barbershop tell me that today. He says, you're the best candidate in this race, but I just don't know if I can vote for you because I don't want Deval Patrick to get elected. And who's to say that my vote comes from, you know, Charlie Baker or Deval Patrick? I don't know why people think they know what the voters are thinking because the pollsters are sort of telling them, and why any vote is a wasted vote, especially if you believe in the candidate.
What did you say to that woman in the barbershop today? Just what you said to me?
I just said that. Yeah, your vote counts. Don't let them tell you that your vote doesn't count at the end of the day. And if everyone who said they're going to vote for me votes for me, I win this race. And that's what we're trying to get across to people between now and Tuesday. Nobody's voted yet. Only the pollsters have determined who are the two finalists right now.
So between now and Tuesday. So Today's polls, one has you at 9%, one has you at 6%. Between now and Tuesday, what could you do that could make you win?
Well, just keep working and keep meeting people and letting people know that their vote will count. The 2 million people who have not cast a vote yet really can make the difference. And 52% of them are not aligned with either party, meaning they've checked out of the party system like I have, or the parties don't speak for them anymore. But we continue to let the parties tell us, or the party apparatus or the RGA or the DGA come in and tell us who's good, who's bad, who to vote for, what this election means. And at the end of the day, Sasha, what it doesn't mean is it doesn't really have solutions for people. You know,
Tim Kaine, you were a Democrat who switched to the Independent Party to do this race. You started out this campaign with a lot of support, high poll numbers, and a lot of cash, and all of that has steadily eroded. I wonder if that makes you think that it is possible for an independent to win in this state.
I think it is. I will never give up on that dream, whether it's for me or for someone else. But what I've seen in the past 6 months is when there is an independent that can win, and I certainly am an independent that can win, they come after you with everything. In some ways, it's you feel respected because they're throwing everything. I mean, I've been in the attack ads of both candidates. I'm too conservative for Deval Patrick voters. I'm too liberal for Charlie Baker voters. I'm in the middle, you know. And it's a fascinating process, especially when you're in the whirlwind. And, you know, the attacks by my former consultants and the defection of my running mate all have been part of this thing, with the expectation that at some point I would just pack up my bags and quit. And as I said at the debate on Monday night, this is the only business, the only business where competition is not allowed. You're not allowed to be competitive, meaning you can only have two parties at the end of the day. And that's the system that we are becoming if we don't stand up to it.
Today we learned that Bill Clinton pressured a Democratic candidate for state Senate in Florida to drop out of his three-way race. So there was a Republican, a Democrat, an independent. This was the Democrat. Clinton wanted the Democrat to quit campaigning and then endorse the independent. And the idea was that move could help prevent the Republican from winning. Then the guy who dropped out would be a hero. Has anyone explicitly asked you to drop out and endorse someone else?
No. I have people suggest it, but they're usually from the Republican side. For them, they believe that my vote hurts their candidate or hurts their desire to get rid of Deval Patrick and change direction, where a vote for me would change direction of the state and do the exact same thing. But obviously, there was a lot of pressure on my former running mate to do exactly that, thinking that if he's out of the race, I don't have a running mate anymore, I'm going to quit. So those things have happened. Obviously, the Republican Governors Association and the folks associated with the Baker campaign put the all-out press on Paul Skoka.
Assuming you won't win on Tuesday, why not drop out if you think that could influence the race in one direction or another?
First of all, I don't assume I won't win on Tuesday. Second of all, I want people to make that decision. They'll decide. I don't think any of us should be, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, Haley Barbour, any of those people should be deciding how Massachusetts voters vote. We had Chris Christie come in from New Jersey last weekend to tell us what New Jersey did on behalf of Republicans and how he beat both a Democrat and an independent. New Jersey lost almost as many jobs as Massachusetts this year. So what has that change really done for the New Jersey voter? We've lost jobs in Massachusetts under a Democrat. They've lost jobs in New Jersey. Christie's just in a big fight with the teachers' union. Nothing's getting done. And then we have people from outside the state telling us how to vote. It just, to me, I respect the Massachusetts voter. I have a lot of respect for that person. I think given if this was in sort of an equal fight without outsiders in here, this would be a competitive three-way race, at least in the polls. I think it still can be if people would just let the voters decide for themselves, not be told how to vote.
Listeners, we're talking to Tim Cahill. He's the independent candidate for governor. You will be electing someone if you vote on Tuesday, and Tim is running as the independent. We're taking calls at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK if you have questions or comments from Tim Cahill. And Tim, we have a caller from Roslindale named Kevin who has a call for you.
Okay.
Who has a question. Kevin, what's your question for Tim Cahill?
Hi. My question was, Tim, you had a big aspect of your campaign was to add more cops to the street.
Yep.
I myself don't really disagree. I kind of disagree on, you know, adding more cops to prevent crimes. You know, crimes are going to happen and cops are more of like a retroactive, you know, solution to the problem. I was wondering if, you know, in your campaign, if you had, you know, ideas on more of a proactive approach on a community-based level rather than, you know, putting more cops to, you know, to kind of, you know, clean up after the fact of crimes.
Kevin, thanks for that. Tim Cahill, though.
Yeah, Kevin's point is well taken. I think that putting more cops on the street allows more community policing to take place. We've lost probably close to 1,000 police officers over the last couple of years due to, you know, cuts in the budget all across the state, retirements. And what we've lost in those defections and not adding more police officers is the community policing aspect, which does not only catch criminals, but also helps to prevent them, especially in the inner cities. They've shown to be very, very successful and a very proactive way to do it. But you need to have the boots on the street, Kevin, I believe, to address the issue both in preventing as well as in apprehending criminals.
Tim Cahill, another question for you. Just yesterday, I think you had said that you would not raise unemployment taxes for business.
Yes.
Is that right? And you've also proposed eliminating unemployment insurance for startup companies.
Correct.
Now, the unemployment rate in Massachusetts is relatively high now. The last numbers, I believe, were 8.4%.
Yeah.
Knowing that the number is that high, does it give you pause to reduce insurance or unemployment insurance or taxes if we need that account to be robust?
It's a challenge. There's no question because we've drawn down the fund. But you're asking small businesses or businesses in the state to add $258 per employee if the rate goes up as it's proposed to go up in January 1st. I don't think small businesses can absorb that cost. That's going to mean more unemployment, which is just going to continue the cycle of needing more money. And the more money you ask businesses to contribute to a fund that they don't really get, you know, it's not a fund where they invest money or grow jobs. It's a fund really to protect those people who are out of work, which I understand, but we have the most generous system in the country. And, you know, I want to be as generous as anyone else, but when you have taxpayer dollars and it's the small businesses that are paying for them, I don't see how we can really absorb that and lower that unemployment rate. Because that ultimately, lowering the unemployment rate is going to make the system more robust than growing the unemployment rate. So it's a catch-22, but I think adding to the cost that is already the most expensive in the country is only going to make the problem worse, which is more unemployment.
We have a caller from Ashland. This is Heather. And Heather, what's your question for independent gubernatorial candidate Tim Cahill?
Hi, Mr. Cahill. Thank you for taking my question.
Sure.
I want to know how small businesses are going to actually be motivated to hire as opposed to hanging on to the increased profit margin.
I believe how they'll hire, and I was once a small businessman, so I speak with some experience, is by lowering the cost per employee. And that includes, as we just said, the unemployment cost, unemployment insurance cost per employee, workman's comp costs that businesses pay towards, and health care. I think health care is probably the number one disincentive to hiring employees because now there's a mandate. And if you have a business that's over 50 employees, you have to cover those employees. And it's just becoming unaffordable for those small businesses to do it. So I don't want to take away, you know, people's coverage, but at the same time, we have to lower the cost. We have to create more competition. I've called for, and I've been the only candidate to call for tort reform for medical malpractice insurance because it is a big driver in the cost of health care. It's costing doctors significant money. It costs patients money. And I think that that's a key for us to grow business. You can only hire people if you make a profit. Because that's what you invest. And the only way you grow a business, and I believe this, is by hiring people. You can buy all the machines in the world, but you need people to run them. You can have the best coffee machines in the world, but you have to have good people to serve the coffee, as I once had in my business. And that is a key, is getting people to feel good about the future and know that their costs are not going to increase. Because their rent's going to go up, their heating costs, their electricity may go up. What we can control in government is some of these other costs.
I want to play a short clip from the final gubernatorial debate, which happened just this week. And the voice we're hearing first is moderator Charlie Gibson.
Sure.
What's the single most important virtue in a human being?
Compassion.
Loyalty.
So that was Deval Patrick saying compassion, and then you said loyalty. Now, this seems particularly relevant to you, given what's happened in your campaign. Your running mate defected, then some aides defected. And I wonder, though, that for some people, loyalty in politics can be a liability because loyalty can mean sticking with a person no matter what their views simply because of the person and not the policy. Do you think loyalty can be a liability in politics?
It can be. But I've had more success with loyal people, people who are loyal not just to me personally but to what my administration wants to do and our goals. And that's really the kind of loyalty I think is important. Personal loyalty is very, very important. And in politics, there is so much undercurrent. You know, so many people trying to stir up the waves, even in your administration, that if you don't have loyal people working in the same direction as you, you can get hurt by those people who have their own agendas. And that's really, in politics, it's very important if you're going to be successful to have everyone going in the same direction.
And you have been hurt by some of these people.
Yeah.
And you know, when you came on Radio Boston a few weeks ago, you acknowledged that the best choices may not have been made in terms of who you surrounded yourself with at first. I wonder if you worry that if you were elected governor, could you pick staff members who might not also turn out to be the best picks, as happened with the people you surrounded yourselves in your campaign?
Oh, absolutely. We all do it. The governor changed his entire staff when he got into office because he picked people we thought were good but weren't really up to the challenge. I've made mistakes in terms of hiring people, and I think the process is getting good, solid people with great backgrounds who are loyal to your administration. And hopefully that's some personal work, meaning they'll lay down for you. They'll fight tooth and nail to achieve what we all want to achieve, and we're all pushing in the same direction. Now, sometimes loyalty can blind you. My mistake, I think, in this race was not, I mean, I did hire some bad people, but my mistake was that I was trying to bring bipartisan support to the campaign, bringing Democrats and Republicans in a campaign before, which had never really happened. They never really worked together in this country. They worked together outside the country sometimes, but never in the country. And maybe that was a little naive of me to think I could pull that off. And I think we would have pulled it off if people hadn't got a little bit skittish or decided to rally around their party.
Tim Kaill, you live in Quincy,
yes.
10th Congressional District.
Yes.
You have the opportunity to vote in the Bill Keating-Jeff Perry race.
Do.
Who do you plan to vote for?
I'm not sure yet. I won't vote for Jeff Perry, though. I made that decision last week when the young woman who was involved in that situation, that he was involved as police chief, came forward and said that this was not a good person and he did not do the right thing back then. So my choice is between a Democrat or there's an independent in the race as well, a former mayor that I served with, Jim Sheets, and I'll make that decision probably when I go into the booth, but it will be between one of those two people, I believe.
If for whatever reason you couldn't vote for yourself on Tuesday, which of your opponents, Stein, Baker, or Deval Patrick, would you vote for?
I wouldn't be able to answer that question right now. And right now, you know, I'm planning on voting for myself, so it won't be a choice. And that's why I got in the race, because I didn't want just to have that choice that many people would have had if I wasn't there.
And let me bring in one final caller. This is Sandy from Westboro. And Sandy, what's your question for Tim Cahill?
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, Tim, if you do not win the election, what are your future plans for, because you won't be treasurer anymore.
Right.
I personally really like everything I hear you say. The more I listen to you, the more I'm impressed.
Thank you.
I would hate for you to just disappear off the face of Massachusetts politics.
So, Tim Cahill, then the what's next question?
It's a good question. I don't know right now, Sandy, but I certainly thank you for those comments. I won't disappear. I can promise you that. Thank you, though.
State Treasurer Tim Cahill is running as an independent for governor. He'll be on the ballot next Tuesday. Tim Cahill, thank you for coming in.
You're welcome, Sasha. Thanks for having me.
To hear our interviews with the other three candidates, visit our website at wbur.org/Boston. Up next, we our Week in Review panel will talk about this week's news, including a remembrance of DJ Henry, the Easton native and Pace University football player killed by police in New York last week. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.